The sight of a baby with a dummy in its mouth has long been a trigger for unsolicited opinions on what the lasting impacts will be on the child. But new research suggests that the most common speech disorder in kids is not caused by pacifiers, bottle use, thumb sucking, or breastfeeding. For more, I'm joined by Dr. Elise Baker, a senior lecturer in speech pathology at the University of Sydney. Welcome to RN Drive.
Hi, Patricia. Great to be here.
So you looked at the sucking habits of 199 preschoolers. Can you tell me why you settled on that particular sample group of children and what your study found?
So this study, it was part of a larger study looking at speech problems in children with my colleagues at the University of Sydney, as well as Charles Sturt University and University of Bristol from an Australian Research Council grant. And we were looking at what are the characteristics of these children to try and understand the nature of the problem, and particularly understand the nature of the most common type of speech problem in children called a phonological impairment. That's the kind of problem that we see in 3- and 4-year-olds when you listen to a toddler's speech and, you know, you give them a word like caterpillar or something and they might pronounce it as tapua, and so they're replacing some of the harder sounds with easy sounds, they're omitting sounds. But what children need to do is develop the maturity of their speech over time from that 1- and 2-year-old kind of toddler talk into more easy to understand speech of a 3- and 4-year-old. So we were looking at those children when they're around about the age of 4, and what are the characteristics of these children. We currently don't have a clear understanding of what causes the problem. For a very small percentage of speech problems, there is a known cause. For example, children that are born with a hearing impairment or children born with cleft palate or cleft lip, they may go on to have some speech difficulties. But for the majority of speech problems in children, we don't have a clear known cause. So part of this research was trying to unravel and find what could be associated, either linked to the problem or could make the problem worse. And that's where our project came in. We took this group of 199 preschoolers that were in Sydney, and we asked their parents, among a lot of other questions, we asked them, did you give your child a dummy when they were a baby, and then how long did they use a dummy for? And we also asked questions around breastfeeding, bottle feeding, as well as thumb sucking use. And then we looked at the presence of having a speech problem, as well as the severity of that problem. So in that group of 199 children we had a group of about 130 children that didn't have a problem, that did have the problem, and then another group that had no problem with their speech. And then we looked at some comparisons between the group, and there was just no association. So there was, with the children that did have the speech problem, just over half of them had used a dummy, the other half hadn't used a dummy. And then we looked at the children who didn't have speech problems, and then again, just around half had used a dummy and the other half hadn't. So we just didn't find an association there.
I can see the headlines now about this research being a pacifier for critics of dummy use. Yes, yeah, pun there. Yeah. But surely people will still argue that dummies cause problems. I mean, whether it's kids getting into the habit of staying quiet when they should be speaking up for themselves or developing their speech, or even the impacts of thumb sucking on developing teeth, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was something we were also wondering about, is would this prolonged dummy use, the longer you're using the dummy, would that have an impact on children's speech development? And again, we didn't find a clear association, but this was retrospective data. We asked parents to recall, from memory, their child's dummy use. And we asked them to note down, at what point in time in the child's age did they stop using the dummy. What we didn't get data on that we're keen to look at moving forward is actual duration of use during the day as well as the night. Because we do wonder, would there be any kind of link there around actual use of during the day? So for those children during waking hours, are they kind of plugged up with the dummy and they're not talking and not engaged in conversation? Would that kind of use of the dummy start to impact the development of speech and language? For the moment, for this big picture survey that we've done, we haven't found that link. So at the moment, we're thinking, okay, maybe there isn't a link there, but to fully put the story to rest, we would need to do a bit further investigation around actual time during the day. And then when it comes back to that, you raised about the thumb sucking. Certainly in the literature around thumb sucking, even prolonged use of the dummy, looking at 2-3 years of age, we do start to see associations with occlusion problems. So orthodontists and paediatric dentists would have issues around prolonged use of thumb sucking or dummy use, because it can be a associated with that kind of an open bite or problems with the occlusion where children bite together and their molars kind of might come together, but those front teeth don't join up. And so you're seeing that gap there. So that can start to have an impact for their later teeth development and the occlusion.
Dr. Baker, perhaps just a little bit less parent guilt. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, pleasure. Thanks, Patricia.
Dr. Elise Baker is a senior lecturer in speech pathology at the University of Sydney. Were you a thumb sucker? Do you have children or kids in your life that are thumb suckers or dummy suckers? I had one of each. 0418 226 576 is the text line.